From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of November, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson of TGM from right here in Champaign County, and we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. Along the way, we'll continue our National Farm City Week celebration on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, corn and soybean futures finished the day about a nickel to 6 cents higher each. We'll talk about that now with Greg Johnson of TGM. It looks, Greg, like it was pre-holiday trade.
You nailed it right on the head. Very light volume, not a lot of news. We've got a potential railroad strike on December 9th. Other than that, all eyes are on Russia and Ukraine to see if the war intensifies over there, if that will affect any shipping channels. That's kind of all in the future. And so for today, I think a lot of the traders have decided to start the celebration a little bit early, as we're seeing close to unchanged markets in both corn, soybeans, and wheat, and in very light volume.
I suppose farmers have closed the bin door, and they're not particularly worried either.
Exactly. We finished up harvest for the most part in our area yesterday. And I think the government said we're 97% done with harvest. So I think we're just about done. The bin doors are shut. Once they put it in there, they don't want to pull it right back out unless the market gives them, an overwhelming reason to do that. And so far we haven't seen that. So farmer selling has been extremely light as well this week.
What does the carryout to May and July tell you about the commodity markets for both?
There's very little carry in the market right now, as farmers have been extremely tight holders. July corn is basically trading at about a 1 to 2 cent inverse to December corn. So December is trading a couple cents higher. So there's basically no carry in the corn market. The market is trying to incent farmers to sell corn, but the overall flat price is lower than what their expectations or their goals are. So we've kind of seen a standoff in the corn market with the futures having to do the work and the nearbys gaining on the deferred. And in the soybeans, kind of the same thing, although there's a little bit of carry in the bean market, maybe about 10, 15 cents carry out to next July. So it's not enough to cover storage and interest, but at least it covers a little bit of that. But in corn, there is absolutely no incentive right now for the farmers to hold corn other than for them to think that the flat price is going to work higher.
And ending stocks, of course, for corn would tell the end user that they need to purchase sooner rather than later, I assume.
Yes, 1.1 billion bushels of corn and 250 million bushels of beans, both extremely tight. Now, if we have a good crop this year, obviously the ending stocks will go up and prices could go down, but that's a long ways away from knowing that. So at this point, stocks are extremely tight, and we're waiting for something to happen to break us out of this trading range that we've been in since the 1st of September, but we continue to wait.
Thank you much.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with Total Grain Marketing, TGM, right here in Champaign County. It's National Farm City Week from now through Thanksgiving. University of Illinois Extension is celebrating the link between rural and urban areas. Today, we'll explore how Extension works to create science-based programming and its link to the people of the state with Illinois Extension's Ag and Agribusiness Program Leader, Travis Burke. I asked him to tell me a bit about his job.
Coordinate, wrangle, if you will, the program areas related to ag and agribusiness, connect them to the citizens of Illinois and back with the university faculty and staff.
As we're talking through this Farm City Week, I'm wondering how it is that you think agriculture, which is your primary area of responsibility and what I talk about most often, connects to the city through extension.
Well, this is important. This is why each year we want to bring attention to Farm City Week, because that's exactly what we want to do and have to do. So what we need to do is to let people know that people in the cities, in the rural communities, all around the country, they need to understand that agriculture is a very important aspect of life because, after all, everyone has to eat.
So those that listen, that are involved in agriculture, understand that global events have an impact on them. COVID, supply chains, the war in Ukraine and Russia, changing farm policies or changing parties in Washington, D.C. And those all actually trickle back to the consumer in some way. Sometimes it's by price. Sometimes it is essentially by the supports that producers are given, or consequently the food and feeding programs from the United States Department of Agriculture. But it's all very interconnected, circle of life sorts of things that agriculture is centered on, and that you are in part responsible for making sure that across the commercial ag team in the state, they're really thinking about from one end of that system, the farm gate, all the way to the table.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And being here in the Midwest, right in Illinois, right in the heart of where all the decisions are made, a lot of them are made right here. So this is why this is a very critical role, and agriculture plays a big part in what happens actually in other parts of the country and around the world, because in terms of pricing, in terms of inputs, in terms of outputs, in terms of yield data, in terms of things that happen, such as the Chicago border trade and the way pricing is set, it happens right here in the heart of the Midwest. So this is why here at the University of Illinois, with all of the agricultural components, including the farm docs team and the people on campus and out in the field, this is why it's important that we bring attention to the farm and the city, because Illinois has a very viable role in the what happens in the agricultural sector around the country and around the world.
So we talked this past week to several folks that are involved with commercial agriculture in one way or the other. Diana Pleba, who is with the Plant Clinic, Gary Schnitke, who is with the Farm Doc team. Diane talked a bit about the kinds of things that people might send in, both from the farm and from the garden. And Gary talked about the way he works with Washington, D.C., and policymakers to help define what farm policy might look like, and even agricultural policy that impacts food and feeding programs. We also discussed with Jennifer Jones some of the things that the Illinois Soybean Association is doing in concert with Illinois Extension. And these all have a direct impact across the state and across the nation. And they're really, really pretty important. When you think about strategically what needs to be done in the future, how do you envision it?
Well, this is why we wanted to have the cast that we have put before our listeners this year, is because of that. We want to sort of let everyone know all of the different components that makes agriculture work in this state. And in terms of what we're looking for in the future, we've got to look at how we can bring all of these pieces together, whether it's looking at farm business management, whether it's productivity, whether it's precision farming, whether it's looking at different ways to increase our soil health and circular farming or regenerative farming, as you would call it, and just looking at all aspects of agriculture. And in the future, we're just looking at trying to find ways to be more productive, enhance our productivity so that we can feed these 8 billion people that are on this earth right now. So the next several years is, again, going to be critical as we move forward in production of agriculture and agricultural products.
Grant McCarty told us about some of the INRES sorts of things he does, natural resources and environmental sciences. I'm wondering, as it's related to farmers markets, locally grown food, what are
the discussion points that you talk about most often with administration when you're around the table?
Mm-hmm. Well, those types of things are very important. This not only are just some of the pieces that are discussed here, but these are the national issues as well in terms of climate education, in terms of nutrients in the soil, nutrient loss reduction strategy, which is one of those other big pieces of what we're doing here in this state and then those other states along the Mississippi. These types of things are very, very important as we go into the way that we produce our food and fiber. We have to be more cognizant of these things and how we can be more mindful of producing these things in a sustainable way, in a safe way, in a way that will protect one of the greatest resources that we have for agricultural, and that is the soil and then all of these other things that go along with it. And so this is why the climate, soil, the environment, all of those pieces are very important as they all work together to produce the product of our toil.
During the Illinois Extension Annual Conference, Dr. Marshall Stewart addressed those from the state of Illinois, talking about strategy some, but mostly about the importance of the work they do, how it's done, and the history that it has. He mentioned you because both of you are from North Carolina originally. I'm wondering how your background brought you to Extension and how you came to the University of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of Dr. Stewart and I guess we were talking about that the other night as well, how both of us were born and raised and lived in rural parts of the state. And for me, my situation was slightly different as I grew up on a farm, production agriculture and poultry, where we raised broilers for Purdue. We raised about 60,000 birds every 5 to 8 weeks, and then farmed about 1,500 acres with our family farm. So I felt that if I wanted to go to an area to learn more and more about agriculture, maybe there'd be some things there that would help the growers out here in Illinois. It's a little different because North Carolina has 80-plus commodities. Because of the longer growing season, the different kinds of soil that are there, whereas here in Illinois, the two major commodities are corn and soybeans. But of course, though there are other commodities as well, but those are the two major commodities here. And here in the Midwest, your yields are substantially higher because of the highly productive soils that are here. Some of the best soils you will find anywhere in the world, unlike what you'll have in North Carolina. So here we have the highly productive and soils, and in North Carolina, we have the warmer climates, the longer growing seasons, which allow us to have there a higher number of commodities that can be produced. So that's why.
I think about this as you're telling me some of this, and another thing that Dr. Stewart mentioned was that in Missouri, most people recognize that they are able to grow cotton in the Boot Heel, far deep southern Missouri, mm-hmm. not very far really from southern Illinois. And his expectation is that that will move northward over the coming decades as the climate continues to change. Have you thought about how you might be able to impact Illinois agriculture as it's related to the other 80-plus commodities that you're used to seeing in the field that might be brought in over the coming years?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do see that some of the things, for example, cover cropping, that is becoming more and more popular here, which is one of the practices that we're trying to encourage here in Illinois. But the climate and the weather is just not as feasible for example, wheat. wheat is here in Illinois, but not at the levels that you'll find in the South. So looking at maybe some ways we can enhance varieties and maybe look at some other types of cropping systems, that would certainly be one of the things I would like to see in the years ahead, particularly when we're looking at all of the other things we talked about a minute ago in terms of soil health and regenerative farming. So I think one thing we would certainly welcome is some different types of cover cropping systems that we can use to sort of go along with the corn and soybean rotation.
If memory serves, you have played different roles within Extension over the years and your career. I'm wondering what it is that you have found most rewarding over the years in maybe a couple of the different kinds of roles you've served.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm one of those that sort of have done everything but the kitchen sink, as they say. But the most rewarding role that I've ever held as an Extension professional has been the county educator work. That county Extension, we call them agents back in North Carolina. Here we're the educators. You know, you watch kids grow up in 4-H, you help kids with 4-H projects, you work with farmers that are just starting out, maybe in a swine operation with 10 sows and a boar, and then you watch them grow to 400 sows and fire to finish operation, and you played a role in that. Those are the kinds of things that I feel are very rewarding. I haven't had a role that I did not fully enjoy because I really enjoy Extension work from top to bottom, across the board, however you want to say it. But that county agent role is one that you really can get in there and you meet families, you grow up with them, you go to church with them, you're in civic groups with people in the community, and then you have a buy-in with that community because you're there with those people in the community every day and you feel a part of the community, which is how you can make tremendous impact as an educator. So hats off to all those educators out there because it's one of the hardest jobs, but at the same time, one of the most rewarding jobs.
So now you're here, and I think probably you've been in other places where you're actually on campus, mm-hmm. And the programming content is developed, created usually within campus and delivered then mm-hmm. within the county, that bringing Illinois to Illinoisans mm-hmm. sort of thing. How important of a role does the university system play in states?
Mm-hmm. The land grant system is one of the best ways to deploy educational research and information across the states. And here with U of I and the faculty and staff that we have here, this is what a way to use really top shelf information that is ready to use out for the growers, for families, for youth, in all of the different program areas. And I think this Extension network and outreach is one of the best things that I've seen that can be used to help people.
Travis Burke is program leader for Ag and Agribusiness at University of Illinois Extension. We're celebrating National Farm City Week, highlighting some of the ways Extension is woven into the social and educational fabric, connecting the rural and urban areas of America. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Let's get straight to it, Drew. What's happening in South America weather-wise?
Well, you know, there's been two weeks of two storm systems, just two storms, one for each week in Argentina, and both systems failed to produce rain of significance in central parts of that country. And so the moisture profile is very low in Santa Fe and Entre Rios and immediate neighboring areas. And the temperatures have been ebbing higher. Well, as we go forward through the next 7 days, we're going to see no rain in these areas. And the temperatures are going to be in the middle 90s to about 105 degrees daily during that period of time. So the moisture stress there is going to probably get as bad as it can get. And we are going to be looking for rain after this period. And we have one frontal system that comes around the latter part of next week. And it will produce rain in many areas in Argentina, but there is a restriction on the amount of Atlantic moisture to come into the country when the frontal system comes through because of another storm system that's in Brazil. And as a result, the rains are going to be light again, and we'll probably see a quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain, maybe a localized 1 or 1.5 inches, and they'll go right back into the warmth again after that. So Argentina is probably the number one hotspot in the world right now, literally, and also with the lack of moisture and the concern over crop conditions. So that'll need to be watched, and also it bleeds over the border. And certainly spreads through all of Paraguay and Uruguay into Rio Grande do Sul and parts of Mato Grosso do Sul. Now, before you get ahead of me here, the moisture profile in southern and westernmost parts of Brazil is still okay today. We do have dryness in Mato Grosso at both the top and subsoil level. And of course, Mato Grosso is a very important production state in Brazil. And they are not so dry that they've lost production potential, but it's not going to rain over the next 7 days there. And it will warm up, not as hot as Argentina, but it will get a little bit warmer. So that is an interesting thing to keep an eye on. And the same will be true for Rio Grande do Sul, where its moisture profile is still okay, but they have seen below normal precipitation for about 2.5 months. And it's not going to rain there for 7 days. And as a result of that, I think they're going to firm up rather notably over that 7 day period. So by the time we talk next week at this time, we're going to have a lot of dryness issues going on, most seriously in Argentina, but it looks like we're going to be drying out Paraguay and Mato Grosso do Sul and Rio Grande do Sul, as well as south central parts of Mato Grosso as well.
I would think that the marketplace will sit up and pay attention to that one, and we'll have to talk about it, of course, again next week. Very quickly, what does our Thanksgiving holiday weekend look like here in the United States?
You know, it doesn't look too bad for the majority of the country. We don't have any major storms, but we do have one event in the Southern Plains that will evolve as we finish out Thanksgiving Day and move into the weekend. This event will begin in Texas. It'll split in two pieces. One part will go through the Delta and into the Ohio River Basin area. The other piece will hang out in the Southern Plains. Texas will see additional precipitation over the weekend, and we'll end up with some snow in West Texas and New Mexico, but that's the only place where significant snow is likely to fall. But a significant amount of moisture will occur in the Delta, and that will help to increase the river levels a little bit. In the lowermost parts of the Mississippi. I don't think we're going to see any big changes, though, in any other part of our river systems, and the navigation issue will continue.
Thank you so much, Drew. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.